The Fearless Podcast, in a time of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. All right, y'all. Welcome back to the Fearless Podcast, episode 44.
Episode 44. Good to be here.
How you doing, buddy?
Oh, doing good. Doing good. Had a great Saturday. Got a lot of grass mowing done, yard work done. Then James went ahead and smoked up some amazing ribs. Actually, yummy. Buddy threw them in the smoker.
Buddy seasoned them.
Buddy seasoned them up, threw them in the smoker. Then the smoker ran out of pellets. And then James was like, oh no. And then he had to run out there, fill it up with pellets. But at the end, it was incredible.
Delectable.
Super good. Falling off the bone. Great stuff. So always be checking your local grocery stores for pork ribs, because they're always on sale. At least around here they are. So you can always get really good deals on your meat.
That's true.
Yeah.
For now, anyway.
For now. So always keep an eyeball out on the deals for the meat, because they're really good.
Yeah. So we got a lot of stuff going on around the farm. We've been heavily supplementing our chicken feed
with heavily
grass clippings.
Yep.
And
I made a little short today.
Oh yeah. That's right.
So you want to go ahead and kind of say how that kind of started, actually?
Well,
that was kind of funny.
It originally started as the littles wanted a job and something to do. So I gave them a 5-gallon bucket and I said, look, now I only want you to pick weeds that are in our blueberry and fig garden. I said, only pick weeds in here. And if you pack a 5-gallon bucket and dump it to the chickens, I'll give you $1.
Uh-oh.
So of course they're very thorough.
Yes.
And they did like 5 or 6 buckets in a very rapid fashion. And I was like, oh no, I miscalculated on this. It should have been 50 cents a bucket or something. So they made some big bank here. We spread the wealth. And so that's how it started. And then Matt said, well, you know, I can use the grass bag and do this in short order. What's so neat, and this is kind of what we talk about all the time, is when you do things once and you reap the benefits over and over, where we've had so many different kinds of critters on our property and circulated, rotating around, rabbits, sheep,
chickens,
goats, chickens,
pigs.
We have, I would easily say,
horses.
Yeah, we had cows here.
Goats.
I would easily say
more
than 50% of our yard grass is about 3 or 4 different types of clover.
Yeah.
So
because it didn't used to look like that at all.
No,
at all.
It was all Bahia and it was terrible.
Yeah. Now it's almost like a golf field. It's incredible.
Super lush.
Every year it comes back better and better. And yeah, it's great.
It improves. And then now we can parlay that into
harvesting
it off and feeding it to the chickens, and it'll more than 50% offset our food bill
big time.
And then another thing that I'm planning, I revamped the chicken hutch today. Me and Buddy reinforced it. We enlarged the front door so that I don't smack my
head. Hit your head. Yeah. Because we used to free range for several years, and every year it always seemed like every year we had to restart our flock when we were free ranging, because some predator would get into the pen through the netting, whatever. Well, not with free ranging, but into the coop. You know, we would try to lock them up every night. And then some nights they would be stupid and go sleep in a tree somewhere or whatever, you know. It felt like every year we were restarting and we're like, forget it, because we're really big on watching all these people up in Alaska homesteading and things like that. And they don't mess around up in Alaska because they got crazy predators. Like we have predators down here in Texas, and they make a big old coop and they make it bomb proof. Yeah. So we finally were like, let's just go ahead and design something. And we actually came up with a really neat design. It is a tunnel. It's a hoop house, kind of like a greenhouse style. But on top of it, we put chicken wire and it goes all the way down to the ground, and we've had great success with that. And then about half of it, we have tarped, And then the front section, actually, we use the PVC
poly panels.
Poly panels, actually. And those work good. Eventually, we want to
solid gray, not like
trim. Eventually, we want to cover, replace the tarp with those.
We're going to replace the tarp with 26 gauge metal.
Oh, we are. Okay, mm-hmm. With metal. Okay. So because the tarps, you normally have to replace them about once a year. Yeah. So, and then the rest is all, you know,
open.
So then they get plenty of sunlight and everything like that. But the only downside is with that is that you're feeding them grain, you know,
and that's you're constantly having to bring material in there to keep everything
mulch,
fresh,
shavings. And
so that's why I want to modify the opposite end of the tractor end.
Yep.
I want to take that end out, put in another door that's a little bit wider. And basically, it's going to be a stationary kind of chicken tractor on steroids. So we'll put a compost pile in there, circle, and then we'll start layering our food scraps and our carbon, food scraps, carbon, let the chickens turn it. And then I'll leave that compost pile real close to the other end door so that it's easy to manage, walk in and out and different things. And the only defect in that design is I have to go through the horse gate to go around. It would be perfect if the chicken coop was not, if it didn't end in the horse, in the
if
pond
it didn't
area.
Butt up to the back of the horse fence.
But, you know, it's just a small,
it is what it is.
I'm going to deal with it. And so we're going to make that modification. And that's, and then something else really cool happened this week. I had a business owner, he came to me during the week and he was like, "Hey man," he's like, "I got 14 acres right here in town and the grass is like waist high." It's like, "What do you think? Do you want to throw a couple cows in there?"
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, "Yeah." So of course, you know, you say, "Yeah,
sure."
And then I'm like, "Well, now wait a minute. There's no corral or load chute. Like it'd be real easy." Now, what is really awesome about this 14 acres is it's never sprayed or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's why it's grown so good.
Yeah. And the grass is so high and it's got a 6 foot, cyclone. It's got a 6 foot chain link fence all the way around.
Wow.
So it's like, and then, another thing where it's in town, the predator pressure is going to be non-existent. You know, you're not going to have any issues with coyotes or cats because it's in a highly populated area for East Texas, you know? And, so I'm like, now I wouldn't be able to. So I really got to thinking and I was like, I've been saying for a long time now, I want to get sheep again.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to get sheep. So previously we had a St. Croix Katahdin mixer. We had like a Greg Judy mix and Greg Judy, he mixes St. Croix with something. I don't know if it's Katahdin or, but you know, it's a hair sheep cross mix and we've had them before. And so I was doing a little reading and the shepherdess raises Dorpers and she did a write up on why she raises Dorpers versus St. Croix and the weight and all this cool stuff. So I'm like, I think Dorper is what I'm going to go with. They're slightly more susceptible to worms. So we'll deal with that. But they flesh out at a higher weight and faster.
Mm-hmm.
And I have like a ton of grass. I have a water source that's right there. Hmm. So I can easily keep them watered. It'll be really easy for me to keep an eye on them. I'm really excited about this. Probably going to get.
Yeah. How many are you going to get?
Five or six. Yeah. And I'm going to get a male as well.
Awesome.
So I'm really kind of looking forward to it. Cool. And it's really kind of neat where we can repurpose this industrial space and grow outs. And I had two people. I was like, "Hey man, this is what we're going to do." And he was like, "Hey, when those sheep are ready to be butchered, I want one." So I already
there
have
you
two
go.
People that are ready to, so I already have two customers. So like I'm in the instant sheep.
There you go.
So that's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
You know, that's just going to cost me the cost of the sheep.
And just a little bit of time.
A little bit of time, a little
day.
Bit of effort. Yeah. And looking forward to that.
Yeah, that's really neat.
Keeping the dream alive.
There you go.
And
that's
so
awesome.
That's pretty much anything else for you happening around the farm or
not much since the last podcast.
Okay. Yeah, and that's true. That wasn't just
that was like yesterday or something.
And we got a little bit of grief about getting onto the main topic, but
yeah, sorry about that.
But sometimes that happens.
Yeah, that's what happens.
And usually, I thought that there was a running timer on here, but
normally, yeah,
yeah, but I don't see one, which is interesting. But,
yeah, it just says recording.
This kind of stuff happens to us all the time.
All the time.
So that's what's happening around the farm. We want to remind you of a new sponsor we have for the podcast. That's foodforestnursery.com.
Yep.
And the Texas Boys 10 will get you 10% off. They sell bare root fruit trees. Now is the time to buy and plant bare root fruit trees. They're a small local Arkansas nursery, great people with incredible trees. We planted their trees about 2 months ago. One is already bearing fruit. Asian pear, really, really high quality. Very impressed with their ship, the way they shipped them, the way they came, the quality, and they're already productive. So people always say, oh, how long is it going to take for this tree to produce fruit?
Well, not that long.
How about 2 months?
No. Boom.
You know, and that is anomalous. So don't.
Yeah. Don't go into it thinking.
Past performance is no indicator of future, all that, you know, all that stock market stuff they say, that stock market babble. There's a little bit of truth in some of that. But anyway, so that's what's going on around the farm. How about health check? How about you, Matt?
Health check still good, doing good since the last podcast. Been doing good. Training's been doing good. Been setting some new personal best. Did
new PRs.
I did, yeah, new PRs. I did not yesterday, but the day before last. I did 200 sets of 125 with shrugs, with weighted shrugs. So that was pretty cool. And then I think I finally got up to doing for it's a variation of a bench press, but with dumbbells actually.
Okay.
And
be careful with that.
Yeah, it is. But it's also a variation. I'm doing it because the way how you perform the exercise is it's for people with that have had labrum surgery.
Gotcha.
On their shoulders. Okay. So it's a better position. So instead of the dumbbells being out like this, they're actually here.
Mm-hmm.
And then you come up, up and over because over your chest when you're laying down. They say if you're out like this, it's putting too much strain on it when you're coming down. So they said, keep your arms chest next to your chest. Yep. So anyway, so been able to do 50 pounds on that.
Right.
And then for 12 reps. So that's been really cool. So I'm now, which is so exciting now, I'm actually setting some new personal bests and after surgery. So that's always exciting.
Post-surgery, so. Post-carnivore.
Yeah. There you go.
Wow. So that's cool. Well, I have two kind of neat hack type things. I've always suffered from, you know, I sleep poorly. And when I switched to carnivore, my sleep dramatically improved for a season. Sometimes I would have so much energy, I'd have problems sleeping on carnivore because I'm like, wow, I feel so good.
That's funny.
So two different things. I've always thought that I've had sleep apnea. I know that I snore. I know for a fact that I snore. I know for a fact that I stop breathing when I sleep.
Yeah. And you have like that twitchy foot thing too. That'll wake you up.
Yeah. And I have the restless leg syndrome or whatever. So everything's a syndrome, you know.
I know.
Who do I blame it on? I blame my mom. Okay. Sorry, mom. I love you, mom. So I've seen, I think the Craftsman, who's the awesome, is it called the Craftsman? The white haired guy on YouTube.
Essential Craftsman.
The Essential Craftsman.
Boom.
Okay. So the Essential Craftsman, he puts up a rando bit video about hostage tape. Right. And I was like, oh, check that out. And I'm like, man, but you tape your mouth shut. Like, and if you stop breathing with your mouth tape shut, like, I wonder how that would work.
Oh yeah. I think Jay Rhodes did a video about that too.
Did he?
Yeah. He started using doing
so
that.
A buddy at work said, hey man, I was at this, some type of conference or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I got demo packets of the hostage shape. And what it is it's got a nose thing on it that opens your breathing passages.
Hmm.
And then you put the hostage tape on your face.
How does that work with the beard though?
It just sticks to your beard. And oh, seriously. Stuck. Yeah. And you just, they tell you to, like, when you put it on, to not have your lips exposed. So you're not like,
yeah,
taping it to your lips, because it would definitely rip the skin off your lips. And so I dove in and I used it. And that night I did not snore.
Are they reusable?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, you rip it off. And that's where the hostage tape is kind of crazy, because basically it's like a buck a day. And that's just so.
But I mean, if you're getting a dollar worth of sleep,
right? So
I mean,
works.
There you go.
Okay, so here's the thing. There's all different types of mouth tape out there, and there's all different
get
types.
In bulk.
Yes, and there's all different types of breathe right strips and stuff. So I know that there's a way that I can do this where it will be more reasonable than $1 a day.
Have you just tried the breathe right strip on your nose thing or whatever?
I have
without.
I know I haven't, but I'm going to try that too.
You should.
But yeah. I can tell you this, that the hostage tape concept totally works, and it will absolutely stop you.
Not sponsored, but would love to be sponsored.
But hostage tape, if you're listening,
hit us up.
Hit us up. You know why? Because all Transformers are Decepticons.
Exactly.
So hostage tapes work. So if you want to try a mouth tape and you snore, try it. It does work. And then secondarily, another thing I've implemented with my sleep is GABA HTP5, which is another derivative of GABA is gamma butyric, some kind of acid. So it's an amino. So HTP5 and GABA are aminos. So I do 2000 milligrams of GABA. I do 500 milligrams of HTP. And then I take an L-theanine melatonin.
It sounds like drugs.
And if I take that natural cocktail, I'll still potentially wake up twice a night. But I fall right back to sleep and I sleep like off the charts. And I get them from like Vitacost, that three combo for like maybe $35 will last me like 4 or 5 months. So it's very inexpensive.
That's cool.
It is amino acids. So it's all natural, whatever that means. You know, there's lots of things that are all natural, but you know, they're amino acids and I do sleep incredible. So that's a couple updates where I originally started on carnivore. My sleep dramatically improved and then it kind of degraded really when I got all this sinus stuff again. Man, it was so brutal. And but now with implementing the hostage tape just once and then now warning with the hostage tape, once you put it on, that's it. You ain't opening your mouth. So make sure like, okay, I'm getting ready to put my head on the pillow. Yeah. You don't do it before then
because
did that and that was funny. But so that's it. So that is that's health funny. Check.
There you go. Health check.
So now we're on to y'all. This is a value for value proposition. So if you love what we do, go on over to thetexasboys.com. We still do have 1/4 of a cow left.
Yes.
So if you are local to the Northeast Texas area and want to pick up in Mount Pleasant, go to thetexasboys.com. And I've had 3 or 4 people say, hey, I want that last quarter, but until you lock it in, it's not locked in.
The deposit is on the website, and it's easy as just going on there and reserving it. Yep.
So check us out over there. We have some merch. We've been having a lot of honey purchases and some renewed merch purchases.
Yeah. So that's definitely nice. Big thank you to all of our customers out there. And crazy enough, we've been able to refine our packaging and everything like that. So we've been able to get stuff out
much faster.
And also Lord willing, this doesn't mess us up, but we've been having a really good streak of
nothing damaged,
like, nothing lost.
I'm going to say that.
And like now for like the next month, we're going to have stuff missing, but it's awesome. What, so nice. Like you package stuff up real good. People you put your warning labels on it and people get it. It's not destroyed. So,
and sadly, y'all, and this hurts me really bad, but we totally ditched UPS.
Yep. Ditched them.
Yeah. And we're just doing USPS and that right
sounds
now,
insane.
They're offering the best service and they actually get it there.
Cheapest price.
Yeah.
And they get it there and it's not blown up.
Yeah, and it's very
UPS.
You know, it really hurts me to say that.
Yep.
I mean, I'm a Lysander Spooner guy, yo.
Guess what I learned today, this week?
What's that?
There's actually, this is very off subject, but with UPS, there's actually UPS socks.
Yeah, I'm sure there is. There's
and they sell them like on eBay. It's kind of hilarious. It's so funny.
Sure.
It's so funny. So anyway, on to our main topic. So
not yet. Not yet.
Verse of the day. People are going to be going crazy.
All right,
crazy.
Y'all. We are going to give you the verse of the day. Psalms. We are in Psalm chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Serve the Lord with fear. Rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are they that put their trust in him. And there is no fear of the Lord. And we want to admonish you to fear the Lord. We want to encourage you to repent and believe the gospel, because the day is at hand. And we're seeing lots of things in the news, and it's good to be prepared and it's good to have food. But if you are not prepped for eternity,
yeah,
like our good friends over there at Prep for Eternity, if you're not prepped for eternity, you know, what good does it do if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul?
Yep.
And another reason, we got a comment.
Viewer mail.
So let me do a viewer mail right now.
Real quick.
And I'll have to go back in the comments.
It would be nice if this thing would tell us how many minutes in we are, but
yeah, I'm not sure. And the other uncanny thing is the clock time down there is not right either, which makes it even better.
Oh yeah, it's 5 o'clock. It says it's 4:20. Oh boy.
Hold on a second.
So oh dear.
This was on one of our, I hope I can find
videos.
Yeah, it was on one of our. Here it is. Okay.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, Andrew Russell.
Let's see here.
Great video. Oh boy, you know that it's coming.
Oh, it's
great
coming.
Video. Love the content.
Sure you do.
Minus the religious stuff.
Uh-oh.
Strange how religious people give God, which he quotes and does put a capital G there.
Check that out.
Praise for creating so many things, but never get upset when he gives children cancer that rots them away from the inside and lets children starve to death. Odd. If you want to explain that, I'd be happy to listen. So, Andrew, I find it fascinating and interesting that an atheistic person would even care, right? Because God's like this made up construct that we know from Lenin or Stalin or whatever. It's just a crutch for weak minds, right? So we invent this God so that, you know, it appeases our conscience. So I'm curious of why you would even care that someone would give praise to God for the blessings that he bestows upon them and then simultaneously blame him for all the death, evil, and destruction when you don't even think he exists, but somehow you've created a construct in your mind where you are blaming the God that doesn't even exist that you think is a religious construct on all the bad stuff that happens. So Andrew, I don't expect a lost person to understand that. And I don't, you know, all I can do is encourage you to seek the Lord, read the scriptures and beg him for mercy. And, you know, God is able to save. His arm is not short. And so my recommendation would be, if you truly want to know that answer, seek the Lord while he may be found
and
search
and
the scriptures.
Everything has a purpose. You know, it's not just like willy nilly, like God's not just willy nilly with everything. So like when my mom got thyroid cancer, you know, and then he amazingly healed her, like straight up miracle status, healed her. And then the gigantic tumor that was growing in her throat that was gigantic vanished, you know. That's a miracle.
Inexplicable.
Yeah, you just can't describe it, you know. And then I could see why people would be like, well, why would God do that? You know, why would God do, you know, something to that person or whatever? But there's always a reason why he's doing it. He's testing you, testing your faith. And, you know, even say right now, like tomorrow, I figure out, I get cancer, right? Really bad cancer. And I end up dying. Big whoop. You know, I die tomorrow. Great. Awesome. Hook it up. You know, save me a step. You know, yeah. I get to go be in heaven for the rest of eternity. You know, awesome. You know, what's like, oh, or, you know, I'm starving on a tropical island and I'm about to die in 24 hours. Yeah. Does it suck to be starving? Absolutely. There's a reason I'm starving. You know, God's testing me or something, you know. But at the end of the day, if you are his, you know, and you are saved, you know, you're going to be going to heaven.
Yeah. And God's people, God's children, give him all the praise and the honor and the glory. That's why we are thankful. What's the better alternative to be?
I think people that they're like, oh, well, if you believe in God, God, you know, only like, you know, if you believe in him, only good things will happen to you. You know, you will have no negative things. And that is not the case.
That's like postmodern theology. Yeah. You know, that's prosperity gospel. That's Joel O'Smiley.
And that's a
Joel.
Bunch of garbage because crap happens to everyone. Yeah. And it is all for a reason, you know. So, yeah. So.
And I mean, you could, you know, I have an older brother.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's in sales like me and everything. And he's like super self-help and everything, which there's not per se anything wrong with some of that. A lot of it is new age, and a lot of it is new age sewage, as I call it. And
new age sewage. That's a good
one. You know, and oh, I'm so thankful to me for this parking spot, you know, because I put out all these good vibes.
He'll actually say that.
Relatively speaking. Oh, okay. I mean, I'm translating it a little bit, but I mean, that's where these people are, these thankful people that aren't thankful to God, right? They're thankful to, oh, thank you, deer, for giving your life force. And now I will eat the deer meat. Thank you so much, deer. Thank you. Thank you, Mother Earth. Yeah. You know, they'll give thanks to anything but God.
Everything and anything.
And it's so scary. Yeah. And talk about superstitious and everything else. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, that's my perspective as a Christian. And they'll look at me and say the same thing. So it's not like, you know, if you are born again, if you are a child of God, and you are regenerated and you're a new creature and you have the Holy Spirit, you're going to see lots of things diametrically opposite and different from the world. So we are going to be moving into the main topic. Now, what's going to happen now is if you're watching on ThemTube, we are going to bid you adieu.
Those.
And unfortunately, I don't have a timestamp. So, because I don't know what's up with StreamYard or whatever.
No idea.
So I have no timestamp, but if you're on YouTube, what I'm going to ask you to do is go on over to your favorite podcatcher, click the link down below. Love the Fountain app. You can comment on the Fountain app and earn sats for listening and all that kind of cool stuff.
There you go.
But go on to your favorite podcatcher and subscribe to the Fearless Podcast. If you like us, give us a 5-star review. It helps. Share the podcast, share this video. That helps a lot too. But we are going to be going to the rest of this video is going to be podcast exclusive. And when you go over there, you'll find out why.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
All right, y'all. Main topic. We're going to be talking about maybe two different things. They're kind of weirdly interrelated.
Yeah.
But we're going to be talking about the red heifer.
Mm-hmm.
And this is very interesting, and it's kind of, it could be disturbing or whatever. And this is largely driven by a misunderstanding of pretty much kind of postmodern prophecy, and it's all kind of surrounding dispensationalism and this pre-trib rapture idea and this concept that there may or may not be a third temple. And then you have the Temple Institute that's been propagating it. And they've also been like proliferating. And this has been a really long game. You know, they've been talking about this third temple for well over 100 years. And then you have all of these pre-trib preachers. You know, you have these John Heggies, right? And he has all these like heretical theological views on the nation of Israel. And look, when you start talking about this stuff, a lot of people get hurt and offended, and for some crazy insane reason. And this is another reason why I wanted this to be a podcast kind of only thing. This probably will stream on Rumble and Twitter. Mm-hmm. This entire concept of the red heifer. So Texas A&M or whatever, they've developed this thing. They finally have like 4 or 5 of them. So they're saying over there, and there's all this, there's this bizarre coalition between America and the UN nation state of Israel. And I guess maybe we could delve into that just on the surface.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God is not finished with Israel. I clearly see that in the New Testament, and we clearly, Paul had a heart for his people and for Israel, and God's not finished with Israel. God used blindness in part happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in, which that hasn't reached its fulfillment yet. But the apostles were Jews, right? And the first church was in Jerusalem. So we had this partial, for lack of a better term, we had this conversion of Jews into Christians. And this is where a lot of these messianic Jews really kind of creep me out, because they're way more Jews than they are messianic. And you get all this weird, you know, Yahweh and Yahuwah and all this weird stuff, and all this Sabbath trans, everything gets really messy. But because of all that, and a lot of that is because of this whole pre-trib thing, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. And this is everything that the American beast system apparatus, this Christian, all these Christian Congress critters, right? That are all these Christian Congress critters like this, that ho chick, Bo Bart, right? That hussy chick, and she'll do anything to support Israel because they're God's people. She's like the most godless, like she dresses like a hooker and she's a conservative and all this stuff. But then you have all of these like crazy warmongers like Cocaine Mitch, and they're all on the conservative side. And then you have the same amount, if not more, on the demonic-crat side, right? On mm-hmm. the lib side. And they're all like ultra pro Israel. And my point is this, right? God cut off Israel. God divorced Israel. And God said that he's going to restore them. It has not happened yet. There's been this, you know, and there's lots of these pre-trib people, and they'll twist scripture in the Old Testament, and they'll say that the dry bones were breathed on, right? And that was 1948. There was no supernatural act in 1948. The only thing that happened in 1948 was the Rothschilds and the UN and they, them, and those, and every despicable devil-possessed human being, they all got together and with this whole Balfour Declaration, and all of this reunification stuff started happening 100 years before that. There's all kind of books written on this stuff, all this Zionism stuff, and every step and every machination of that was all pre-Germany, that was all pre-Hitler and everything, right? And that was just that was just a useful coincidence. All that stuff. And I'm not downplaying how horrible the Holocaust was. The problem with talking about this is if you do not recognize a particular narrative, right? And you question things, you're like, yeah, but what about this? And what about that? Mm-hmm. And when you question these, oh, you're immediately labeled by the ADL, by the arc super duper arc liberals that hate anything remotely Christian and anything conservative, the ADL and the Southern Poverty Law Center and all these other, you know, liberal, you know, and they all want to make everything hate speech. And we just had retarded Greg Abbott come out with some like edict about anti-Semitic speech when hate crimes are already hate crimes, right? When you threaten or when you do violence or threaten violence to anybody, there are already 1 quadrillion laws against that, and it's totally illegal. So to bequeath an edict from your wheelchair about anti-Semitic, look, I work in construction, and on certain contracts that I sign, like if I want to do work for a city, I have to sign 2 forms that say our company doesn't boycott Israel.
What does that even mean?
And I think something in one of those forms boycott literally Israel? Says that we don't financially support terrorists. So if you understand, that is all exclusively propaganda.
Big time.
And it's all brainwashing and it's all presuppositional, prepositioning, baloney. And it's infuriating and it's so pervasive that in a completely secular society and this completely secular, you cannot convince me that Greg Abbott is remotely Christian. I mean, he's been letting our southern border be invaded like nonstop for a decade. And now all of a sudden, you know, Joe Biden has given him no other choice but to finally actually do something, even though he's been all in on Cardboard City down there above Houston and he's gotten millions from that.
Shipping them everywhere.
Yeah. It's just, but this is all part of this dialectic. Okay. So something that recently happened is with Candace Owens. Now, Candace Owens supposedly was on this alternative right wing news source, the Daily Wire, and it's comprised of all of these Christian loving, you know, you got Jeremy Boring and then you got Ben Shapiro, the Judeo-Christian, whatever. And that's this whole other thing, this whole Judeo-Christian concept. There's no such thing. You know, you have Jews, you have, they converted to Christianity. So you have Judaism and you have Christianity. There's no such thing as Judeo-Christian. There's an old covenant and there's a new covenant. And all of those in the old covenant that were saved by faith are in heaven. And all of those that are part of the new covenant are Christians, right? There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free, right? There's neither male nor female. I mean, that's the way this new covenant works as a child of God. And to take old promises and to take types and shadows and then to twist them all around and upside down and inside out. One, it's foolish. Two, it's not even logical. Three, what happens, what it does is, one, it forms your eschatology and it says, well, there is going to be the Antichrist, which nowhere in scripture is, well, nowhere in any Bible that's not postmodern.
Yeah.
So nowhere in any scripture that's not postmodern does it say the Antichrist, in the exact same way as nowhere does it say the Great Tribulation. These are two constructs that have been injected into certain eschatological presuppositional positions to make them work. And I'll give you an example. Revelation 12, right? So in Revelation 12, it talks about the woman with child and the beast with, let me just read it to not misquote it. but this is in Revelation 12. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. So that is the biblical Old Testament nation of Israel. And she being great, and she being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. Right. So this, great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns, right? Oh, well, this is, if you hold a completely futurist position, this beast is in the future, and this is the Antichrist, right? But here in the middle of the book of Revelation in chapter 12, we see this account of Satan and his devils attacking Christ at his birth. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. This is clearly Christ.
Yeah.
This is not a future event. This is a past event that occurred
during
Christ's incarnation, so his birth and his death, burial, and resurrection in Revelation chapter 12. So the interesting thing here is we have this same beast that's supposedly the Antichrist that occurs sometime in the future. And that is problematic if you hold a pre-trib rapture position. And what this does, this completely futuristic view of Revelation, it builds upon this temple, this third temple that's going to be built, right? Because, and they're going to start sacrificing in this third temple. And then the Antichrist is going to sit in the temple of God, and he's going to say that he is God, right? And that's going to be this culmination of the grand reveal of the Antichrist. Here's the problem. Christ was the final sacrifice, right? And any sacrificial action, and no offense to anybody that celebrates all these Old Testament holy days, all of those Old Testament holy days were types and shadows of Christ and what Christ fulfilled while he was here.
That's why he said it is finished.
Correct. He said it's finished. And we shouldn't go back and dwell in these types and shadows and live in the past. We should live in the now and live in Christ. We have all of the fulfillment of all those types and shadows. There's no reason to like dwell and revisit them and be stuck in the past.
And like you, me and you've talked too, there's no way for people nowadays living in the U.S. to properly even perform any of these sacrifices in holy days
by design. And see, this is going to be my point when we get into this whole nation state of Israel.
Yeah. I don't want to mess you up.
No, you're not messing me up. It's perfect because this is my point. One, this is my point with the temple. Okay. So no sacrifice ever in, I'm not saying that there won't be a third temple. I am I am saying that the concept, notion, and even the drive and desire to build a third temple is exclusively to manipulate Christians.
Okay.
Largely.
Sure.
Okay. And, you know, because I was born and raised in a pre-trib and all this stuff. And when I first started studying it for myself, I'm like, wait a minute, how can they're sacrificing these sacrifices to God supposedly, and then the Antichrist comes in and sits in the temple of God saying that he is God. Well, God is disgusted. You know, the fact that you would sacrifice an animal is just a reinforcement that you've rejected Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And it's a literal loogie. It's a little literally spitting in God's face. And you're destroying one of God's creature in a unholy act of defiance against the fact. And again, you know, you are reinforcing the fact that you completely reject the fact that God's only begotten Son came to earth to be our substitutionary atonement. You are, you know, and you are just, and that's why all of these different Kabbalistic Jews and all these Kabbalistic rabbis are completely involved. There's plenty of videos of them talking about this, like, hey, if we push this narrative, we can, we're going to get the Christians to, you know, to be all anti-Muslim and all this stuff, right? And then, you know, we need our temple because we want to worship God and all this stuff. And it's like, you're not worshiping the God of heaven. The God of heaven already sent his Son, and you're not going to work. And God says it in the Old Testament, if the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin, you know, he would accept it, but he wants a broken and a contrite heart. He doesn't want the blood of bulls and goats. Right. And so we have this construction of this notion of a third temple and all of it's going to be great and it's going to be honoring to God, but then the evil, the Antichrist is going to come sit there and then everything's going to get jacked up. Well, my point of reading Revelation 12 is this. Verse 6, the woman fled into the wilderness where she hath a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Now the pre-tribbers will tell you, oh, that's the first 3.5 years of the seventh, the great tribulation. And it's not, that's in the past. And then, I mean, I don't want to go into the whole fact of, you know, he who now letteth will let, that that's all misrepresented as well. It's not, it's taken out of context, which is, and then that's inserted there. I don't want to go down that rabbit trail. It's a, that's a totally different discussion on the same topic. But, you know, we have all of this construct. Well, this same exact construct on sacrifices and the temple, there's a reason. You know, when Christ said it is finished, you know what happened? The veil
was torn
in that temple, was rent from top to bottom. Supernatural event that no human could perpetrate. That veil was rent from top to bottom. It is finished. It is gone. And this is the other reason why I'm perplexed by these people that want to dwell in these types and shadows and use all this Hebraic language that was reconstructed from Yiddish and all this other stuff, which is a whole other story. Okay. So that entire system, then what happened is said, his blood be upon us and our children. Right. And Christ said, hey, you like this temple? Well, you know, it's going to be destroyed. So in 70 AD, that temple was completely eradicated. And besides all of the sacrifices and all the types and shadows and everything else that goes along with that temple that can no longer be done, that have not been done, all of these necessary sacrifices to be a good Jew have not been done for thousands of years. So all of these great, hard, dedicated Jews have not been practicing biblical Judaism for 2,000 years. But they just love God and it's great. And that's why they, you know, kill chickens and twirl them above their head and slap chicken blood everywhere. Right. Because that's in the Old Testament. But the other thing that was completely destroyed were all of the Jewish genealogies. So my point is, who is a Jew? Is a Jew outwardly or one inwardly? And I do realize in the scripture, it talks about Jews as a nation, as a people group. And then there are Jews as a religious group. And I realize they're two different things. But that even further begs the question of We have occupiers of this UN Rothschild machination nation state of Israel that has only and has only ever done evil, wicked, beastly, New World Order things like the USS Liberty and like the Mossad and like 9/11 and all these different beast state things, just like America, just like America, just like Joe Biden and Barack Hussein Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And they have all, and Bibi Netanyahu, they've all done these tyrannical, biblical, evil, wicked things exactly the same, but somehow theologically they get a pass because they're God's people. But yet, if everything you do, if you're a Greek or a Gentile, and everything you do mocks God, shake your fist in his face, mm-hmm. you know, you're a heathen, a pagan, and a God hater, which mm-hmm. you are, which you either love God and you are his child and you're regenerate and you're a new creature, or you are God's enemy.
Yeah, sure.
And that's a whole other theological topic mm-hmm. that is a great conversation for a different day. But so much of this entire Jewish construct, and to state the things that I'm saying and to point out the obvious, is labeled hate.
Yeah.
When there are Jewish professors mm-hmm. and Jewish Holocaust survivors, and they've written books about this. They've written books yeah. about Zionism and how all this is just a manipulation thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, anti-Semitism used to be people that hate Jews, and now anti-Semitism means are people that Jews hate.
Mm.
And who is a Jew? They've done this genetic testing, and whatever relevance any of this even is
a bunch of bull.
And they claim that the genetic testing. Look at the timer. It says 5 seconds.
Uh-oh.
There you go. Great. Well, this will be interesting. How come they just, you can't,
mm-hmm.
we'll see how this goes. Mm-hmm. This will be interesting.
I think they knew we were going to record this. Mm-hmm.
So, every time.
Oh, we're going to hope we haven't just started recording.
Yeah, I hope not. That would be insane. But anyway,
if so, we just got a lot of practice in here, but it's fine. Let's just keep going.
Yeah. So, there's genetic tests that claim, according to these tests,
yeah,
by people that claim to be Jews, by Jewish professors,
mm-hmm.
that those that occupy the prison state of Palestine,
mm-hmm.
That they are more Jewish genetically than the legal residents of the UN nation state of Israel.
Mm.
So, depending on your application of Revelation,
thick
and how your eschatology works, right? Mm-hmm. And if all of these things are in the future and the whole entire world is going to come up against Israel,
mm-hmm.
right? And right now...
Yeah, guess what we're seeing right now?
Yeah, right now the U.S. and the mm-hmm. UN nation state of Israel mm-hmm. are suffocating and destroying the Palestinians in Palestine.
Mm. And they're more Jewish.
What is that?
Yeah.
What's actually happening? You know, and I'm not saying that is exactly what's going on.
Sure.
And I'm not a complete futurist either.
And that's the other thing that we were talking about today. It's so crazy. Like with all these overseas wars and Ukraine and Israel and all this stuff in Gaza, you know, we don't even know what's going on.
We don't
know
the truth.
We don't even know what's going on.
And we will never know the truth. And
no,
it's just one more war on top of another war. And any Christian should just be like, dude, enough. No more wars.
Yeah, for real.
What we should have, you know, Ron Paul was talking about all this warmongering stuff, and the Republitards mm-hmm. painted him like a kook 10, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And I mean, as a Christian, we got to say, you know, no more wars. Like, mm-hmm. we're certainly not going to pay for it. Like, and, you know, it's just like taxes, man. They just printed like trillions of dollars to fight these wars. Why should we have to pay any taxes? Like, hey, just print whatever you need and go nuts and spend it. That's what they do. So why should we have to pay a penny in tax? Just keep printing. You can print your way out of it. You know, just abolish income tax and keep printing money. And good luck with your whole scam.
This was crazy. I heard this on I heard this on the Making the Argument podcast. And they were saying that if everybody in the whole entire world tried to pay off America's debt, that the whole entire world doesn't even have enough money to pay off the debt that we have accumulated.
And what that means.
That's insane. Like, that's so insane. Right. Like, it's so terrible that right now, like, as Americans and as people in general, that we've gotten used to using the billion and trillion word for money. Trillion. Like, that's, you can't even wrap your mind around that.
Nope.
Like, trillion. And then when you're like 20 trillion here, 100 trillion there, and you're like, what the heck? You know?
And it's also an absolute proof that they are going to, and they want to collapse this.
Yeah, they want to destroy
it. It's a proof that they are so fiscally negligent. And then the Republitards lockstep with them and raise the debt ceiling every single time.
Every time.
They just did it again. And this unsustainable, treasonous act that is going to force us into a CBDC.
Hey, and also, I forget who just announced it, but the Fed just announced that they, you know, inflation ended or whatever.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Cool, so there's no more inflation anymore.
Hey, they've the technocrats. It. Yes.
So there you go. So you know what that means?
Oh,
prices are going to go even more.
Other great news too. tomorrow, the Lord's Day, when some people celebrate Easter and others celebrate the resurrection, and you know,
or they just bunny and the egg.
Yeah, or they just go to church on the Lord's Day and worship with God's people.
Yeah,
Joe Biden's administration said that tomorrow is tranny day.
No way.
So
shut up.
Yep, tomorrow.
Wow, that's just
Hey, that is Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, if you don't, I mean, it's just the biggest spit in God's face.
Big time spit,
you know. And look. If you're a Christian and you don't think that the cup's getting full and it's coming to some type of dramatic close here, I mean, you are. And if you're post-millennial and you think that we're bringing in the kingdom, and now that Roe v. Wade has been overturned,
It's only better from here.
It's going to get, come on, bring it. Christian nationalism. Yeah. The Dominionists, we're going to make it all better.
Satan's bound, dude. Here we go.
I hate to break it to you.
I wish that was the case. Yeah. That would have been awesome.
The other interesting thing between post-millennialism and pre-trib, you know, future, you know, dispensationalism is they're both exclusively this Americana idea. Like, you would never be like, you would never be teaching like the pre-trib rapture in China, right? You
or
would
in
never
Africa. Do that.
And and oh man, there's so many rabbit trails I could go down.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, this whole red heifer thing, basically, it is an absolute tool to exclusively ensure.
And do you think it could just be the deep state though?
Of it all, I mean,
a big time setup.
I think a lot of it is
for setting up for World War III.
Well, I think we're already in World War III.
Sure.
But if they go on the Temple Mount with the Dome of the Rock and sacrifice this thing to set up the Third Temple, it will absolutely be
a launching point.
And this is exactly why, y'all, this is exactly why on March 22nd, which is Skull and Bones. Yeah. March 22nd, Skull and Bones, the ISIS-K. I've been saying for several years now, when are they going to trot back out the LCIA? When are they going to trot back out the database? When are they going to trot back out the terrorist boogeyman?
Mm-hmm.
And then on 3/22, ISIS-K, not to be confused with ISIL or the Israeli secret, whatever, shot up a It was like an opera or a play and shot up like 137 people. And then the Russians got the guys and like did really nice stuff that they absolutely deserved. And nobody's saying that a bunch of people didn't die, and nobody, and I'm not saying that radical Muslims didn't do it, but they, but these Muslims definitely were not on like a suicide mission. They were trying to get out of there, and they did. But in respect to all of this terrorist stuff and all of this like Muslim against Americans and Muslim against the Jews, which, hey, dude, Muslims do hate America. We bomb them and blow up their stuff and kill all their women and children.
Yeah.
And we've irradiated the Middle East with depleted uranium.
So
and
no joke, they hate us.
Yeah, they should hate us. But here's the thing.
Yeah, for real.
Now they attacked Russia. Why? When is ISIS or all of the LCIADA or all these other different factions, when are they going to attack China? China has been abusing the Uyghurs for decades. For those of you that don't know, Uyghurs are Chinese Muslims. And the communist China has been abusing and assaulting and slaughtering the Uyghurs for decades. And when are the Muslims going to get so upset that they send in ISIS, HIJ, or LMNOP in there? When are the Muslims and the terrorists, when are they going to get upset about the way the Chinese are treating the Uyghurs? When's that going to happen? No time soon. There's no political expediency. There's no propaganda. There's no element of anything where any nation state is benefited if one of these terrorist organizations goes and liberates the Uyghurs in China. So it will never happen. And that's why, when was the last time you even heard about the Uyghurs? Yeah. 10 years ago?
Yeah. Yeah. Long time. It's been a long time.
But it's the same thing. You know, now there's this red heifer. So if this red heifer gets sacrificed, it's going to guarantee a complete and total and utter Islamic Israeli.
So if it is going to get sacrificed, it's going to be this month. Correct? Or no, just sometime in the future.
I don't know. Yeah, they're saying like, it's not, thinking like 30 days.
In 30 days, yeah.
And I don't know what the rush is, but here's the thing. Here's the thing. If the current UN nation state does this act, it is a complete act of terrorism, because this will create a complete and total holy war exclusively. And this is nowhere in scripture, y'all. You're not going to find this in prophecy. You're not going to find this in scripture. And if they do this, this is an intentional act of terrorism to ensure that if World War III isn't in full effect, it will be. So if anything, shouldn't there be every ambassador and every from every country and be like, yo, yo, slow the bus down.
Yeah.
Like, first off, you cats haven't been doing your thing for 2,000 years. Why don't you just wait another thousand? What's another 1,000 years?
Yeah.
What's another 1,000 years? Y'all have been cool with not doing this for 2,000 years.
And then there's this big rush in 30 days.
And now all of a sudden, let's just chill.
Yeah.
And this is the same thing with all of these, with the temple being destroyed and all the genealogical records being completely destroyed. We have no idea who is what and when and where. And, oh, they kept all these. Yeah, they all got just completely and utterly destroyed. And here's my point. And people will tell you, oh, well, if their mom was a Jew or whatever. Okay. Barack Obama. And this is another thing. And you can't say this.
So I know.
This is why this is exclusively
podcast
on the podcast.
Yeah.
So Barack Obama is like, what, 1/5 black or something. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Best case scenario, he's half black.
Sure.
Best but case. Let's say, for the sake of argument, let's say he's 30% black.
Sure.
Why is he black? If he was 2/3 white, what makes him black? And the point isn't to be like, to say that he's not black.
No.
But my point is these ethnic Jews, what percentage of them has to be Jew, however you determine that and wherever you draw that line back. And I totally understand that the Mormons are super involved in all this stuff. And the Mormons are involved in like every CIA operation there is. Okay. Every single one.
Everyone.
All right.
They got their fingers in a lot.
They're all into this genealogy thing and acting like they can know all this stuff. And they absolutely can't.
No.
And they're also all sheep dip CIA spooks and everything else. Mm-hmm. But sorry to all my Mormon friends.
Yeah. And we do have a couple.
Yeah, we do. But I'm just saying
Mormon friends, but still
there's a reason why the Mormon church has mega billions and they have their own separate venture capitalist fund. And yeah, there's a reason for that. And it doesn't happen by accident. No. And it doesn't. And there's a reason why Angel Studios have all these other propaganda videos and all that. But anyway, I'm not going to go down that rabbit trail. But this is my point. So if you want, this is a great discussion. Let's continue this discussion. If we have any subscribers out there that kind of want to like push back or debate this,
why not?
Let's do it. We'll set it up.
Be awesome.
We can do it right through StreamYard. Let's talk about
like
it.
Call in.
Whether you're, well, if we can do
call
this,
in or comment,
if we can do this call in thing on Rumble.
Sure.
We'll try to set that up. Or if it's just bringing on a guest and discussing the topic, whether you're pro or against or whether you're, you know, pre-trib, whatever, or whether you're maybe even if you're post-mill.
I think it also plays hand in glove with, you know, them being able to censor our speech too. So that's just another awesome thing that the libtards love too.
And that's what's really infuriating about the whole Ben Shapiro. It's what's really infuriating about the whole Jewish thing, because you have these mega
Greg Abbott
and like bunch Ben Shapiro. Rhinos. Yeah, just a bunch of fake rhinos that want to curtail free speech, and they want to,
because what's the word smithery with Greg Abbott's Free Speech Act thing or whatever. But it literally regulates free speech. So
that's
that means it's not free speech.
Right. Sophistry.
If you regulate something that's free, that's not free.
Yeah, a bunch of Jesuits. Yeah. Double speak, sophistry. Woo.
Yeah, I know. They'll speak out of one side of their mouth and then the next second they say something else. It's like,
that's how they
do it. It's just like Ben Shapiro. Exactly, you know, like they pull up videos from a couple years ago and he's like, oh yeah, Israel can defend itself.
And I'll now tell you what. Like, if you don't,
we need to help out Israel.
If you don't pair Ben Shapiro, he's thinking hate you. And he has made that. And I'll tell you what, too, when the old jabby jab came out, he was all like, oh, I got the jab. My wife got the jab. Our dog got the jab. Our parents got the jab. He was super.
Seriously?
Oh, yeah. I didn't hear about that. Jab.
Wow.
He's a piece of garbage. He's a joke.
He's a big time joke.
Yeah. And then you have all that funny stuff with Crowder. So this is what's funny, because Crowder exposes the Daily Wire and says, oh, they have these cheesy contracts and, you know, they just want to indenture you. And so then Candace Owens comes out and like poops all over Crowder and says, oh, he's a scumbag. Mm-hmm. And that was a scumbag move. And him and his wife, they hate each other. And then all that stuff comes out about Crowder and him being Crowder is a super scumbag with, you know, the stuff he did with his family and everything else. Mm-hmm. And now these people that used to work for him and all this non-disclosure, and he's like a super scumbag and he's like using lawfare. So everything that he accused the Daily Wire of doing, he does to everybody that worked for him. So it's
so crazy.
And that just
so crazy.
Between this. And then Candace Owens says, Christ is king.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that somehow, y'all, In the last 30 days, we've just experienced complete revisionist history. Somehow within the last 30 days, Christ is King has become anti-Semitic.
Mm.
And Christ is King is trending on Twitter. And John Lovell did a video. I didn't get to finish watching it, where he was like, oh, it was awesome. I saw Christ is King trending on Twitter and I tweeted Christ is King.
Then
I started looking into it.
Ooh.
And now somehow it's anti-Semitic. And you got these weird messianic Jew guys like Andrew Flavin or whatever his name is. And he's like this supposed messianic Jew, but he was like, yeah, you know, I could see how that is anti-Semitic. I mean, it's so insane. But look,
who was the one guy we were listening to? He was on Mark Dice showed him. And
Christ, Christ is anti-Semitic.
Yeah.
Because
and he was like,
that system is gone.
If Ben Shapiro believed in Jesus Christ, it would destroy his whole entire career and his family.
That was Andrew Klavan.
Yeah. And I'm like, what?
Who's a supposed Christian.
I'm like, oh my goodness.
And Andrew Klavan goes on to say that God has put Ben Shapiro where he is for such a time as this. And he explains all around.
But if Ben Shapiro believed in God, Jesus, right, then it would destroy his whole entire career and life.
Whole shtick.
Dude.
Yeah. His whole,
I'm like,
his whole yarmulke shtick thing. That I'm he's like, even,
this is insane.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's crazy, but it proves the point of this dialective narrative, right? And how they keep pushing and redefining, whether it's conservatives or whether it's liberals, which is why we don't conform to either of the groups, because it's a broken dialectic. The beast system, beast going to beast, y'all. And if that's both an American sides. Beast, or if that's a UN Israeli nation state, supposed, you know, repackaged, whatever, it's going to be a beast is going to beast.
Yep.
And it's not cool when you indiscriminately kill hundreds of thousands of people and starve them to death and blow up hospitals and blow up schools. It's evil and it's wicked and God hates it.
Yes.
And so that's all for now. This thing is saying that we've been recording for 19 minutes, y'all. So we're going to see.
And I know we've been recording for at least
probably an hour and 19 minutes.
So we're going to see. We might have to reshoot this.
This might all get redone.
That would stink.
And we'll do a better job next time.
There we go.
But
I hope not.
Anything you want to say in closing, Matt?
That's it.
That's it.
We're good.
All right, y'all. Well, remember, stay fearless, my friends.